Don't speak about something you have no idea about. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you. Good to be here in the studio where it's kind of nice and cool out. We had a nice relaxing rainfall this afternoon that watered the plants so we don't have to, and raring to go.
Well, that's good. And I think a lot of people, especially in our listening audience, were grateful for the precipitation that we are getting because it has been a very dry about last 6 to 8 weeks. So it's a good thing. But we have to be thankful because somebody else, Chuck, is making that happen. God is making that happen so that we can have successful gardens, that we can mow our grass, that we can get along with our life. Charles, if we really think about it and we listen to our leaders, we're going to find out that I think maybe theologically, some people like our president may have actually become possibly reformed in their theology, Charles, because they believe, like many of us do, is that God makes everything happen. Now, he didn't put it that way. I'll give you that, ladies and gentlemen. But the president had an address over the weekend at a rally in Roanoke, Virginia, and he was basically laying it on the line. It was a campaign speech. It was a rally to raise money and get support for his reelection campaign. But Chuck, why don't you take it out of context? You could say that, well, yeah, he does believe that we don't do all this stuff on our own, that there's a higher power. Now, his higher power, I think, is probably a lot different than most of us would understand the higher power to be. But instead of me telling you about it, we could just let the president speak for himself because, well, Chuck, I think we both were sitting here with transcript of some of the president's comments.
Oh, absolutely. Barry, what's interesting about this whole thing is this really does illustrate the point that people like the president, who have their mentality, really do believe in a higher power and really believe the federal government has become providence, if you will.
And ladies and gentlemen, you'll understand that when you hear what he had to say and how he had to say it, and then we're going to like break it down and analyze it. But you're right. I mean, even our president believes that there is a higher power or a providence. But I believe that it goes without us being too out there on this, that it definitely isn't God that he's looking at as being a higher power, but it is government.
This is a multi-pronged mistake on his part for reasons that should be obvious. First of all, the major employer in this country is not corporate America, as some of the anti-corporate types would have you believe, but it's small business.
It is mostly businesses who have under 500 employees.
So I think it's mostly businesses that have under 5 employees.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that as well. As a matter of fact, you're listening to two small business owners who have under 5 employees each.
Yeah, we are the backbone of the country. It's the small businessman. There's just no doubt about that. And the president of the United States, frankly, would like us all to go away. Now, here's the bad part. The Republicans all would actually like us all to go away, too. They pretend like they like us. That's to get us to write checks. But the fact is that from the look of the regulatory picture, they don't really like us at all. They would like us to go away. They would like to regulate us out of business and make sure that we all go over to the big corporations who write the really big checks. They would all like us to be absorbed into this, frankly, the creation of a fascist system, which is basically government-corporate partnership. Small businesses don't play government-corporate partnership very well. We're too independent-minded. We don't like regulation. We're not willing to have the government come in, kick us around in exchange for access to a market, which we frankly, for the most part, couldn't fulfill the orders for anyway. And we're not looking to be able to fulfill the orders for a gigantic market. We're looking to fill a niche, for the most part, for most of us.
That's right.
And we like our niche market. Our niche market likes us. And they like dealing with us because they get personal service rather than having to call into some call answering center, have it transferred over to Bhopal, India. When my clients call me, they either get me or they get an answering service and they leave a message and I call them right back because I have 3 or 4 phone lines that ring in here. Can't answer 4 phone lines at once.
Chuck, it would be okay because according to the president, you really aren't the heart and soul of your business. You're really not the entrepreneurial type who, through your own investment, sweat, risk-taking, sacrifice, time commitment, have created a business and made it successful. And according to the president, somebody else made that happen.
And you'll note that in this piece that we're talking about, nowhere is that actually mentioned who that is.
Well, it's because it's one of those implied things, Chuck, that
exactly.
You know what he's actually talking about. And speaking of which, why don't we go on to give the listeners what it is that the president said on Saturday in Roanoke, Virginia, because he was taking a shot at, they said in the article that we're looking at, this comes from the Washington Times, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the water cooler section, and it's by Kerry Pickett of the Washington Times, and it was posted on Sunday, and they have the transcript of the president's address. And Chucky went like this, and I'm not going to do my Barack Obama impression because I really don't think I can hold. I don't think I can stomach doing it for this long. And he says, and I quote, "There are a lot of wealthy, successful Americans who agree with me." Well, there it is. It's all about him again. There was a speech last week where he used I or me 117 times in one speech. So here we go. "Because they want to give something back. They know they didn't. Look, if you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there." And of course, you hear applause when you listen to the video. He goes on, he says, "If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so that all the companies could make money off the internet. The point is that when we succeed because our individual initiative, but also because we do things together. There are some things, just like fighting fires, we don't do on our own. I mean, imagine if everybody had their own fire service. That would be a hard way to organize fighting fires." Chuck, I just sat here in stunned amazement at the amount of drivel that was in this little segment of the speech.
Well, it's riddled with logical fallacy.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's interesting. And really, you said he didn't say who, but he really did, because he got out of that section after saying somebody else made that happen. Well, and he used the analogy. Well, the internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet. So in other words, government was what made it happen. Government's what helped you be successful. Government is how you got that business.
Well, let's look at it in some detail here.
Sure.
First of all, a lot of wealthy, successful Americans who agree with me. Name them, please.
He's going to say Warren Buffett. He's going to say probably Bill Gates. He's going to go to corporate titans who happen to be fairly liberal in their politics. Soros,
who manipulates and destroys currencies to make his money, and which he is doing currently in our own. Bill Gates, who makes most of his money dealing with business, not government.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Gates, who basically has been blackmailed into being a supporter of big government by, if you'll recall, the antitrust lawsuit back in the early 2000s, late 90s, 2000s, who it turned out his problem was he wasn't spreading enough money around in Washington. And as soon as he started spreading enough money around in Washington and playing go along to get along with government regulators, all of a sudden his problems went away, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So, yeah, apparently if you get big enough, the government can crack down hard enough, they can get you to do almost anything. Like this statement, "You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it's because I was just so smart." What are we constantly being told about Barack Obama?
Well, that he's smarter than the rest of us.
That's right, that he got there because he was just so smart. And the fact is, if you actually look at this guy's career, he is judging others by himself because he has gotten where he is through the work of others who understood that he was a very good, charismatic front man, not necessarily such a great scholar, not necessarily such a great lawyer. If he was a great lawyer, how come he doesn't have a law license? The fact is, we've been told that he was a professor in a law school. Well, no, he taught a couple of classes at Chicago School of Law, but he was not a professor. Guess what? I've taught classes at universities, and I don't even have a master's degree. So that's meaningless.
Can I start calling you professor?
No, please don't. That's too much to live up to.
No doubt. Well, this whole idea, there's a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. Yes, and most of us have to work very hard, Mr. President, because you change the rules of the game constantly and throw more expenses and costs through regulation and tax penalties, such as Obamacare, that make hardworking people have to work harder just to keep what they've got to start with.
That's right. And think about this as well. What he's doing is pandering to an audience who really believes that those of us who did start our own business couldn't possibly have done that on our own. And I'll be quite honest, I didn't. My brother started this business.
Well, that's fine. Well, okay, well then, Chuck, you know, you made his point. You got there because of somebody else.
Except I didn't get there through the government, and that's the pandering that he's doing. He's saying that no one can start a business without the government. Let me tell you, my business would have started with or without government, and in fact, it was infinitely harder to start this business because of government. It was not easier because of it, because I had to fill out this paperwork and that paperwork and another piece of paperwork, and I had to buy this permit and that permit and another permit, fill out this paperwork,
right,
that paperwork, another piece of paperwork. It took me months to make sure, and every once in a while I'll get a notice that says, well, you never filed for this, and I'm like, I didn't know I had to.
Well, and that's the whole point, Chuck. Small business people oftentimes are getting there because of hard work and because of intelligence or being able to understand the niche markets and being able to address a need. And maybe they did get there with somebody else's help, whether it be family members who sacrificed, whether it be investors who saw their idea and thought this is a good thing and then put money in to help them get started. But you know what? You're right. Barack Obama really believes that everything should come back to government making it happen. Because government is like God. That's the somebody else who's making everything happen in the Barack Obama world.
Well,
I'll admit, Chuck, you know, my business, I actually started it. And maybe I did because somebody else made it happen. And that somebody else would be government. Because ultimately, my business came about because government got involved in directing banks on loans to first-time home buyers, which crashed the housing market, which destroyed the stock market, which then caused a lot of people who were giving charitably to not be able to give anymore, which caused a lot of nonprofits, one of which I work for, to have to cut back on staff.
Exactly.
That's where I started my own business. So I can thank government for this, but not in the way that Barack Obama wants us to feel about it.
It's very interesting. He wants to go to the roads and bridges thing. Well, who built roads and bridges before government did it?
Well, private entities.
Private companies did it.
Yes, they did.
Before the government stepped in and became the proprietor of roads, private companies built roads. They were called turnpikes.
Yes, that's right.
And the fact is, they would build and maintain roads, and they would collect tolls and make a profit on the road. Now, if you think, oh, what a terrible system, think about it this way. How much do you think you pay in road use taxes that actually don't go to maintain roads in large part these days? The fact is that the average Joe, I saw a cartoon the other day that actually told the story pretty well. It said profit on a gallon of gas was about 9 cents. The tax was 49 cents. And the rest is the cost of the raw material and the refining, which somebody makes money on. Let's not kid ourselves. But the fact is that the government very often has stepped in and created new businesses by over-regulating and creating the need for somebody to step in and do something to deal with regulation that's very expensive for the original business.
Yes, it is.
For instance, think about healthcare.
Absolutely.
For instance, one of the reasons that healthcare is so expensive is because your doctor has to pay someone, very often a private company, to do medical transcription, to keep records, and to fill out insurance forms. Because in order for them to actually be in the room and see you, they have to jump through the regulatory hoops to collect their money.
That's right.
And the medical transcription business is really only about 20 years old. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but it has only gotten big in the last 20 years. Who knew a medical transcriptionist 30 years ago? Almost nobody. Now they're all over the place. I hate to tell you this, but we are out of time.
It figures. But Chuck, I will go back to what I said at the very beginning. If you don't know what you're talking about, stop talking. And that's our advice to Barack Obama today, is since you really don't have any idea, because how many businesses has Barack Obama started?
Zero.
Zero. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so we have to look at these things from a principled perspective, and we have to look at it from a logical perspective. And logic and principle would tell us that a man who doesn't have any experience at all probably shouldn't be telling everybody else with such authority what they have and haven't done.
And with that, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.